This is WBAI, New York.
Serving the community since 1960.
How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? It's all I ever had. Redemption song, all I ever had. Redemption song, these songs of freedom. Songs of freedom.
No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. No, no. Hang on. Let me wrestle control of the console here. That was that was a rebroadcast of our April Fool's prank from 2009. 17 years ago. Can you believe that? Well, April Fool's is on Wednesday again, so you know what we have to do. Not anything different or new, but replaying what we did before. But not you know, the first time we did that, we played country music for about 15 minutes. And, there was a lot of listener awareness, let's put it that way. This is actually off the hook, in case that's not clear. You can hear. You can hear it in the distance. It's there, it's there. It's fighting the country music right now. There it is. There it is. Okay. This is Emmanuel here. We have Kyle.
Yes.
And out in Signal Land, we have Alex. Hang on, Alex. You're muted. Okay.
April Fool's. Gotcha.
Oh, that was funny.
What, you moving your mouth and no noise coming out? That's not April Fool's. That's a dream.
That's it. Yep. Oh, man, I've been waiting all year for that.
Uh-huh. All right. Well,
just like I had in my head.
It's a special holiday. You know, for the first time in this show's history, there are astronauts on their way to the moon during our show. That's never happened before. If you can believe that, that's never happened before. Yeah. And I'm not sure if the two of you were even alive the last time this happened. And I was. I was a kid. But, it happened just less than an hour ago. I think about a half hour ago. Artemis astronauts, four of them, on their way to circle the moon, come back, and next time they do this, they'll land on the moon. I, for one, think it's awesome, but what do I know? Okay, so this is our special April 1st edition. Now, if you're freaking out because of the country music, know that this time it's a joke. Next time it might not be a joke. I think we have a rap coming up. Yeah, hang on. No, I'm sorry. It's just the quiet part of the song. We're going to break for the fake raps. There are people, there are entities, there are corporations, there are governments that want this station shut down and changed to something more, oh, I don't know, palatable to the listener, something that won't make you think as much as WBAI makes you think. And that is why...
Girl, don't cry.
No, I'm sorry. I just got caught up in that. That is why you need to pick up the phone and call 833-WBAI-NYC. Hopefully your phone has letters on it. I'll need to look that up to find out what the number equivalent is. But that is the number to call right now to pledge, because our pledge drive actually began today on April 1st. We need your support. We need your support to keep non-commercial radio going here in New York City, where we can do things like this, where we can have fun but also talk about very serious matters. And 833-WBAI-NYC. And now let's listen to what could have happened.
In with the new country hits from Nashville to New York. Country 99.5, where you're in the middle of a 10,000 song marathon. Keith Urban, Country 99.5.
You know, how long would it take to play 10,000 songs? If a song is 3 minutes, right? That's how many in six? That's like 20 in 60 minutes. Is that how that works? That's a lot. I can't calculate. I can't possibly calculate that many songs. 10,000 songs. I guess commercial stations do that when they switch formats. Maybe 10,000 is a bit of a reach. But we owe a debt of gratitude to our good friend Laszlo, who worked in commercial radio and was able to collaborate with some people and put this together for us. It is so polished, so professional, and it has aged really, really well.
I think it would take 20 days.
That's all?
By my calculations.
I think it would take a lot longer than
maybe,
that.
Okay, 21 if you're rounding up.
Look, how many songs in an hour? 3 minutes, 60 divided by 3 is 20.
It's
I can 20, do that.
Yeah, I did that.
So that's 20. So in 10 hours, you would have 200. In 100 hours, you would have 2,000. Multiply that by 5. So 500 hours. Okay, yeah, you might be right.
Yeah, I used the calculator.
You used the calculator.
But
very
I did
smart,
it by
yeah.
dividing a bunch.
10,000 songs. Can you imagine? Well, again, 833-WBAI-NYC. I'm actually going to look at my phone and see if I can turn that into numbers by looking at my my phone dial here. Yeah, here we go. I'm going to sound like an idiot. 833-922-4692. Maybe somebody could write that down. That would be very helpful. I'm usually good at that, but not under pressure. Here we are on April Fool's Day having a bit of a laugh. And, you know, there's a presidential address tonight, too, at 9 o'clock. It's everyone's getting. Well, you know, it's his day. Come on, let him have that. April Fool's Day. It's like a holiday, and this is the April Fool's address. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what we will have to contend with as a result of that? I don't know if BAI is covering it, but we'll certainly be talking about it. That's for sure. Alex, I wanted to ask you last week. The story just broke last week. When we went on the air about Meta, YouTube being found liable in that social media addiction trial. You know, when I first saw the story and saw that they had been found liable and that they were being fined a few million dollars, it didn't, I think $2.1 million or $900,000 in punitive damages, $3 million total. Didn't sound like that much, but when you realize that's only one case and that there are tens of thousands, if not many more, to come, this could spell the end of social media as we know it. Is that a valid interpretation? Knowing that there's going to be a fake rap coming up in just a second.
Yeah, maybe. Right, I think.
In the middle of 10,000 country hits commercial free on the new Country 99.5. New York City just got a little southern.
Oh, man, can you imagine? Can you imagine?
That's so horrible.
It really is horrible.
Yeah, I kind of love it, though, mm-hmm. in its horribleness. Yeah. It's still very perverse, but it is legitimately what could happen. And I want to go back to that. I mean, please, people, support us. We've got a great community here.
Yeah.
We're here week after week for you guys.
And we
only have you.
Just read the number one more time, and this time make it sound like I know what I'm talking about. 833-922-4692 is the phone number to call to pledge your support. Or you can also go to WBAI.org or give to WBAI.org. Give the number to WBAI.org. Become a BAI buddy. Pledge every month. You'll be helping to keep us going.
Yeah, so important. The BAI buddies keep us on the air. They really amplify us. I think that you have to think about this in a context, too. Right? We've been so much better about fundraising. We haven't been here begging for money for so long now. Yet we're here week after week, every single week. We do overtime for you guys. We show up without fail. And we only ask you guys to come through for us maybe once a year now. And so please do.
And if you don't come through, the fire truck will come and spray you with water or something. I don't know. Addressing my question before this song ends, and we have to listen to another fake rap.
Okay, yeah.
Go ahead.
So the question about this is, I think you're right, Emmanuel. I think there's going to be big changes on the horizon. And you know, it's interesting, too, that you know, these are going to come in the form, the changes are going to come from jury verdicts, right? It's taken so long to do this. And it also means that these platforms have not changed voluntarily. They've been fighting this. They didn't settle these cases. They're going to trial with them, and they lost. And what the jury found really was that these platforms were not accidentally addictive. They were deliberately engineered that way. And there's data that's come out from Discovery all about what they knew about the addictive nature about these particular platforms, and they continue to persist despite the obvious harm that it could have caused children and others.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think they're going to get pummeled in case after case. I think they're going to try to arbitrate a whole bunch of these and try to save face. But ultimately, whether it puts a large enough dent into the profits of social media platforms to affect real meaningful change over time is going to be another thing entirely. I think that they're going to be more careful about the documents and records that they create as part of the research and development process. They may destroy records more expeditiously, but I think that ultimately they are going to have to be more careful. And it's, I think, a testament to the power of the legal system to affect this kind of change. It's also a testament to the powerlessness of Congress and the fact that they have not affected this type of change and have not reeled in social media platforms from doing this type of thing for so many years through so many levels of manipulation.
Well, you know, it's a huge story. When you say the social media companies are going to have to be more careful, how do you see them being more careful? And the song is about to end. Answer right after this. Oh, they did it again. You think they're stopping, but they just keep going. If you can start answering my question, knowing you're about to be interrupted.
Okay, excellent. So how are they going to have to be more careful? I mean, they're going to have to really...
Bring the heartland to the heart of New York City. Country music is back on the air in New York City on Country 99.5. We rounded up 10,000 country hits, and we're playing them all in a row, commercial-free. Toby Keith.
Wow. Are there really 10,000 country hits? I guess there are. Okay, talk fast.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to be extremely careful about how they document their research, and they're going to be careful about other people being able to figure out what it is they know about the dangers of their particular platforms. And I think that ultimately they're going to have to make these things less addictive. They're going to have to re-engineer them in certain ways. And if they're going to continue to maintain the attention and the eyeballs of the current generation, I think that they're going to have to rejigger their platforms in many, many ways. I mean, this whole crazy ethos that they had back in the day of move fast and break things, right? Well, they're finding out now, decades later, that ethos works a lot less well when what you break is actually a teenager's brain. And they're being held liable for that. So.
No, it's interesting. I mean, yes, obviously kids are more susceptible to this sort of thing, but I see plenty of grown-ass adults who are falling for the crap of social media as well, being negatively affected by them, by the platforms, by how they're drawn into all this, hate and discussion and back and forth. Engagement, which is the bread and butter of the social media companies. They have to change their fundamental business model if they're going to survive. My question is, can they do that? Are they finished? Are we moving on to something else? Every solution also is a potential problem. You can go too far trying to solve the problem. And I kind of see that here. Our good friend Cindy Cohn was on Daily Show with Jon Stewart on Monday. I urge everybody to watch that if they can. She was talking about these issues, about how reining in the social media companies too much could actually be a bad thing, could be giving power to government entities and making it so that it's harder for people to speak their minds, individual people like us. Won't have a platform to say what we think because everything will be severely regulated. I'm curious what your thought is on that. And also, this is the last of the country music raps coming up. So let's just plow through that together, and then we can never speak of it again.
Country Hat. You're in the middle of 10,000 country hits commercial free on the new Country 99.5.
And that's it. Okay. Except for that. That's it. That was our April Fool's joke from 2009 that we kind of went through again today. But let's get back to something serious. And by the way, this is also a phone-in show. We will be opening up the phone lines in just a couple of minutes to studio listeners. There's no overtime tonight, so people listen to the radio station. We encourage you to give us a call. We'll give you the phone number in just a couple of minutes. Don't call it now if you know it already because it's not going anywhere. So, Alex, did you hear the point, though, about how if you... You force all these regulations onto social media platforms. Those regulations affect us. So, the age restriction is something that I've been going back and forth on, and I think I don't like it. I think I don't like it a lot because it seems to be forcing a lot of people to give up their anonymity because they have to prove that they're over a certain age if they want to participate in a conversation. Now, just because there are these huge corporations that are predatorial and don't care about their users, don't care about the harmful effects their platforms have on people, is that a reason for us to throw away another piece of our freedom just to keep them at bay?
I don't think we have to see it like that. And I can understand Cindy's point that if we have too many regulations, and there has to be some kind of regulatory oversight of those regulations. Now, there's other ways, I think, that we can regulate these social media companies as well, perhaps by passing laws that would give individual people like you and I and our kids and whatnot, anybody who's harmed by those platforms, specific private rights of action to sue them additionally and over and over and over again in federal court or state court. There's lots of ways that we can do this ourselves without giving power to a regulator to then use that against us. And we know that there's a lot of function creep when it comes to regulation, and regulators love to regulate. I think there's got to be a way that we can thread the needle between maintaining personal freedom and having some kind of meaningful oversight of social media companies here, because we've seen real harm. I mean, there's real harm. These jury verdicts are going to be extremely powerful. They're going to be really damning. We know this has been going on for some time. We know that teens who have been on these platforms have been subject to mental health issues, self-esteem issues, been pushed to suicide, and time and time again. You know, and when the product that they're selling here is essentially eyeballs on a screen, when the product is attention, it shouldn't come to any surprise to us that addiction is their revenue stream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, again, I don't see how we are protected from, you know, when I hear stories about how somebody under a certain age won't be able to install an operating system without proving they're above a certain age or having their parents do something for them, you know, all these regulations, they seem to go a little too far, you know, and they don't necessarily accomplish what it is they were setting out to do. So that's what worries me, because the Internet is priceless as far as what it allows you to be able to do. Think of the early days of the Internet before all the commercialism took over. That was something that I think we should aspire to again. And I think we need to try and figure out a way to do that. Maybe, you know, do something radical, like just not allow companies that do the kind of thing that Facebook and Twitter and whatever else, what they can't resist doing. Maybe we just make that the problem, you know, not the age so much as just the behavior. We can describe what they are doing as far as, you know, having their algorithm control what you see and not reflect reality. Make that the problem that needs to go away. And, you know, that might lead to something a bit healthier.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit it on the head when you said the word behavior there, right? Because regulation is supposed to be targeting behavior. It's not supposed to target things like expression. It can certainly bleed over into expression, and I think that's likely what Cindy was afraid of. If we give these regulators too much power, there'll be this function creep. But what we should be talking about here with respect to these very specific issues that we know arise in a social media context, especially with children and with addictiveness, these are known harms, and you have to regulate the harms. You cannot regulate the entire Internet. That's wrong. We have to focus on the harms and go backwards from there. And you know, we're asking a legislative deliberative body that has really done really absolutely nothing and far too long, I think, to tackle an issue that is way beyond their comprehension. So I'm not necessarily too optimistic that we're going to see laws with meaningful reform passed by Congress. I just don't see that happening. But I am given some heart by the fact that we can still affect change from the legal system, or rather within the legal system from the ground up.
Well, you know, one of the things Cindy said that really stuck with me was, do you really want to unleash another Brendan Carr on the Internet, you know, with regulations there? And I say resoundingly no, that is exactly what we don't want to do. Anyway, maybe we can open that up to listeners, or if listeners have anything else that they would like to add to the conversation. Our telephone number is about to be activated. 802 is the area code, 321-4225. That's 802-321-HACK. I got the number right, didn't I? Okay, good. I'm having trouble with phone numbers. Too many phone numbers. So if you're listening to the radio right now, that's something we would like to ask that people who listen to the radio, because you're important people. You give us a call, 802-321-4225. I think we have a phone call. Let's take the first one. Good evening. You're on WBAI. Go ahead.
Yes, here's this.
I did. Sorry.
Here's this.
I did. Sorry. I knocked something
off. What is your problem?
Okay, I don't know who that is. You hit the button, right, Kyle?
Yeah.
Next time you hit the button, can you make a motion? Because it looked like you were asleep. I didn't know you were so cool, calm, and collected. And if that's the same number, don't pick it up.
No, it's a regular caller.
Okay. 802-321-4225 is our phone number. Yes, Alex, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say just pick up and hang up again if we needed, but let's go to the caller.
Oh, nice job, Alex. Okay, I stepped away for a minute. You've got nothing to say? Okay. Do we have a phone? Do we have a phone? You had your chance. Do we have a phone call or not?
Yeah.
Okay. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook. Go ahead.
Hi. Let me turn down the radio.
Turn down the radio. This is Rebel, it must be.
The radio. Yes. I'd like to mention that, hold on, I got to get prepared here. There is a website called telephoneworld.com, and, okay, got to get online for this. Telephoneworld.com, and what they do, I don't know if you know about this website, but they have old phone sound and old phone recordings and old things like that. And what I found was they said that they had the one step switch left in the United States. Now, this is a step switch that it's not like one of those step switches that they just forgot to cut over or something. It's something that they just put there for some reason. It's in Florida. I won't give the exchange out, but if you call it, it does some interesting things. Emmanuel?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay. I'm going to cue this up. It's live. It's not a recording. It's not on a recording of a website. It's a live switch. It's a step switch. It has a cut. It's one exchange. And it has...
Rebel, we really have to get moving, Rebel.
I got a three-way for this.
Oh, that's your personal business.
What I'm going to do is three-way you to the site. No, I'm not going to do that.
Maybe we set this up before we make the phone call next time.
No, okay, all right. Here. You have to... Okay, this is a busy signal on a step switch, and this is not a recording. This is an actual switch in Florida. You have to wait for the clicking and the...
Do I?
Yeah.
Well, that does sound like a step busy signal there, but let me ask you, how are you accessing this?
I'm calling it. I'm calling it on my Google Voice number. I'm calling you from my cell phone now, but I'm calling these numbers on my Google Voice number. And what I'm going to do call now is a loop test. Okay.
And how are you finding these numbers again?
On telephone. There's a website called Telephone World.
Okay.
They said it's the only step switch in the United States. And what I'm going to tell you, you're going to hear the step switch ring now. It's in Florida. It's north of Orlando. It's by, I forgot the name of the phone company. Continental Telephone or something? No. CenturyLink, I think it's called. Hold on for the ring.
Okay, this will be the last one.
The step switch, so you gotta wait.
It takes time to go back in time.
Hey, somebody picked up.
Oh, I heard someone picked it up. So you're saying you actually called somebody who has a step.
No, you know what? This is a test number.
Okay, well, somebody is part of the test, I guess, if they picked up. Rebel, this is fascinating, but we only have a few minutes, so we have to move on. But thanks for the call. And again, Rebel usually calls overtime. In fact, Rebel always calls overtime. So we're going to move on from this particular phone call and hopefully get another phone call that's not an idiot and is not Rebel. The two things are totally different things, by the way, just in case. The first caller was an idiot. 802-321-4225 is our phone number. Alex, you are motioning?
I was motioning to hurry Rebel along, that's all, to just shove him along.
Oh, you're issuing commands. Okay, fine.
Yeah,
yes, I will do what you say.
And just shove him along and off. I think we've got to give the airwaves to new callers.
Well, I'd like to do that, except we're talking about it, and we can't pick up the phone. And let me say good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hi, guys. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Okay, a couple of things about government regulations. I remember back in the 60s, there was a show called Dark Shadows. Steve, you guys know it. It was so addicting that kids would run home. I was 11 years old when that show was on the air.
Uh-huh.
So you know what? This whole thing about being addicted, it's up to the parents to control the kids. You know, right now, there was a company that has a software for a calculator in California. They're getting out of that area because even if you've got something that has nothing to do with social media, every operating system, even a radio that you have to give the radio at the FDH just to log on to the operating system. Isn't that crazy?
No, that is crazy. That is crazy. And imagine if you had to prove your age to listen to the radio. I mean, you can hear a lot of things there that will affect your mind. You know, it could be considered unhealthy, but, you know, do we want to go that far?
I'm not, the radio I'm talking about is a software-defined radio
right.
that would be used for amateur radio, something that allows you to go from 100 kilohertz to 1,000 megahertz.
Right.
It's a software. That software has to talk. So anybody selling a software, even if the software is not supposed to communicate with a server, it has to be able to. Any software in California now has to verify your age.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's the thing that I think is a real threat.
I mean, can you have a software out there that doesn't need to communicate? Sometimes you don't want to keep your software to go out to the Internet. You want to keep it local.
Right. Connecting to the Internet should not be the requirement.
Right, but that's a requirement now because they want to make sure. I mean, this is where, Alex, as a lawyer, you know that when things creep, who was it? Thomas Jefferson said, if you give up safety or something, you know, you give up your freedom for safety, you have neither. I mean, that's what we're doing in this country.
He's got you there, Alex.
Yeah, there's something that was it Ben Franklin who said something? Like,
yeah,
like,
I don't think anybody knows who really said it or what they actually said, but the thought is there.
The sentiment is, you know, you shouldn't exchange security for liberty, right? Or exchange liberty for security, whichever one you want to do. And I think that's the right sentiment here. Yeah, and this goes right back to what we were talking about, caller, which is that you should be regulating the harm, not necessarily regulating the wider Internet. It's, you know, a big problem of these types of regulations. I can understand why people are hesitant to have them in place, but when we have such active harms that are affecting a really impressionable class of persons in the society, like children, then I think that we have some kind of almost moral imperative to act in a way that reins in these companies or causes them to change their behavior. We can't let it go on this way, but I think we can do it in a reasonable way that doesn't hamstring us from a liberty standpoint.
Yeah, because, you know, it sounds a lot like the Patriot Act, you know, that we have to do this because, you know, these bad things are happening and it's going to affect everybody else in a negative way, but we just have to, you know, buckle up and take it. I think there's got to be a different solution, especially when you can identify the bad actors. And we can easily, they're the ones that are in Congress answering questions and not telling the truth. So, you know, make it harder on them. Don't make it harder on the rest of us.
Yeah, but here's the problem. Look, we could design a software. The whole idea of designing something, you want people to be hooked on your product. It's not like drugs. You can have two kids. One kid says, hey, I hate it. Another kid says he loves Facebook. I don't like it. I'm not a big Facebook user. But I remember as a kid, I couldn't wait to get home. I would run home. And I would not even do my homework. My parents would say, why are you watching TV? Why are you watching that stupid thing? Because I was into a certain actress. So you know what? Anything can be addicting.
Uh-huh. Well, that's true. Maybe not as dangerous as what we're seeing today, but certainly, yeah, the point is taken. I think that people can go overboard on many different things.
And they tried to shut that show down because the church was saying, well, it's all about witches and warlocks or whatever.
Dark Shadows? Really?
Go here, Dark Shadows. If you remember, it had Barnabas and Angelique and all of those. I was a big Dark Shadows fan. It was a Catholic show.
Wow.
And by the way, if you don't believe me, just Google WABC was being pressured to take it off the air by the church because the church said this was evil.
Wow.
Because it was, you know, blood is hurting people. You have a way to solve that. Probably go to court and you sue them. Get guys like, it's hurting people. You have a way to solve that. Probably go to court and you sue them. got guys like you that can take them to court. That's what the system is all about. Mm-hmm. But really, it's up to the parents to keep an eye on the kids.
Yeah.
Just like it was up to my parents. As a, you know, when I was growing up, they would say, no, you're not going to watch that today.
Alex, I'll let you have the, you know, the last word here.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Look, I can appreciate these sentiments from the caller, and I think what you're really driving at here is we have to have some kind of personal responsibility for what we allow our kids to do and act. But I think on the other hand here, you also mentioned, and I think this is the overpowering point, that addictiveness here is not something that happens by accident. It's not a glitch. This is deliberately designed. These systems are deliberately designed to be addictive. These apps are built like some kind of behavioral exploit kit. There's infinite scroll. There's variable rewards, notification pings, you know, red buttons and things that have alerts, and an algorithm on top of this that learns exactly how to keep you personally from leaving by crunching on your data and your behavioral analytics over so many years. It knows you better than you know yourself. So this isn't some kind of quote-unquote social media feed. What you have here in your hand is something quite literally akin to a casino that's wired to your dopamine system. That's why it's addictive. That's why it's harming children. I think we need to continue to think of it as something as dangerous as that.
All right. We're going to move on. Thanks for the phone call. Our phone number is 802-321-4225. And again, a more important phone number is our pledge line, because we are at the beginning of a month-long pledge drive. 833-WBAI-NYC is the number to call for that to pledge your support. You can pledge small amounts every month, and they add up to bigger amounts throughout the course of the year, which is great because that's something we can depend upon. We can count on it coming. And it keeps the lights on. It keeps the station going. And we've been doing it this way since 1960. 833-WBAI-NYC or 833-922-4692. Show your support for non-commercial radio. Phone in line is open, 802-321-4225. Is anything on your mind? Alex, you heard Kash Patel got hacked, right? What do you think about that?
I did. I mean, does it surprise anybody?
No,
at all?
No, God,
were you shocked about this? I mean, my understanding of this as well is that I think this particular inbox, I could be wrong about this fact, but I believe that this particular account and inbox was breached at some point before as well. And so I think he then probably just changed his password but failed to set up some kind of two-factor authentication. So, I mean, I'm never going to underestimate the crazy things that are going to happen to people in this administration. It's just, I think it's par for the course.
Well, you know, just poor security habits is something that you don't just shake off. And I think, you know, was this a government account or was this his personal account? My understanding is it was personal.
Yeah, I believe it was a personal account. But I mean, from the standpoint of, okay, does it going to make so much of a difference to have this out there and that some of his data was exfiltrated? And stuff? Well, it might. I mean, he's the damn director of the FBI, right?
It makes him look like a fool if that was even possible to convince anybody who hasn't been convinced.
And just from like an international standing perspective, when the head of the Federal Bureau of Investigation of a country, the nation's premier law enforcement agency, supposedly gets his Gmail hacked yet again, it's just not the best way to win friends and influence people from an international diplomacy standard.
No. This was accomplished by the hacker group Handala, and they basically issued a statement saying that Kash Patel will now find his name among the list of successfully hacked victims. Okay, that's a good way of saying it. They published a series of personal photographs of Kash Patel sniffing and smoking cigars, riding in an antique convertible, and making a face while taking a picture of himself in the mirror with a large bottle of rum. I mean, that's a good look for an FBI, head, don't you think? Oh, Lord. Again, let me remind you, we've got the presidential address coming up. And why would you give a presidential address on April Fool's Day? Why would you do that? I mean, it's always going to be known as the April Fool's address. You know that. And people will know, is it the address that the April Fool gave? You know, it depends on where you put the apostrophe. Or is it the address that was given on April Fool's Day? You know, you could have just either given it yesterday or given it tomorrow. I don't know. No one listens to my advice.
Well, maybe this is his version of plausible deniability here. So if he said something on April Fool's Day, he could reel it back in later on by claiming it was an April Fool's speech. He didn't mean it at all. It was all a big joke. But he never really seems to go forward or through with anything anyhow. So it really wouldn't matter. I don't think he even needs that.
You know, if you were there to whisper in their ears, they would be getting away with so much more than they are. Because, yes, that is an intelligent way to do it. Okay, we have another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook. Go ahead. Speak up. Is anyone there? I hear activity. Hello, hello. Okay, we have to move on. All right. 802-321-4225. We're getting all kinds tonight, aren't we? And we have another phone call coming in. Let's hope this one is able to use the mouthpiece of the phone. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook. Go ahead.
Yes, how is the VBA? I have
okay, Rebel, now you are banned. You are banned next week, or the next week we take phone calls. I don't get it. It's so easy. Don't call twice. It's a simple rule that we have. It's not an unreasonable rule. There are other people. All right. 802-321-4225. Let's take this phone call. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook. Go ahead.
I have the comics code from 1954.
You have
sounds pretty interesting.
You have the what now?
The comics code.
Comics? I don't know what that is.
It is... Well, I'll read the first 2 points. Crime shall never be presented. This is regulating comic books.
Oh, I think I've heard about this.
Yes. Started in 1954. It's about 20 points. But, for instance, no comic magazine shall use the words horror or terror in the title. All lurid, unsavory, gruesome illustrations shall be eliminated. Policemen, judges, government officials, and respected institutions shall never be presented in such a way as to create disrespect for established authority. And it goes on. It's easy to find.
Wow. So what was the fate of this? How long did it last?
Marvel Comics turned its back on it, I think, in the late 2000s. The Wikipedia gives you a good rundown of it.
And it's called the Comics Code.
Yeah, it's called the Comics Code Authority, CCA. It was formed in 1954 as an alternative to government regulation.
And that was right in the middle of the McCarthy era, so I guess everyone was trying to think of ways to be a little bit more oppressive.
Yes.
All right. Thanks for that.
Marvel abandoned it in 2001.
Wait, it took them that long to abandon it in 2001?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I had no idea.
Yeah, and you know, Robert Crumb had been out for decades before.
Yeah,
that,
so. Yeah. Wow. Well, thanks for that enlightenment, and we're definitely going to look into that some more.
You will.
All right. Take care. So, Alex, let me throw this to you. So this comics code that the listener called in with, you know, comics, a lot of kids read comics. A lot of minds are affected by what they read. How do you argue against this kind of a thing?
Well, it can go too far as well, these types of things. I mean, but this is also, you know, akin to some kind of coalition to form a, it's almost like a conspiracy to self-censor in many ways is how I would see this type of thing, right? They're saying, like, we don't need a government regulator to do this. We're just going to do it ourselves, and we're going to police this as an industry. We're going to come together and form something on the basis of these principles. But, you know, that centralization of power over expression to me is really quite dangerous. It doesn't matter if it's in the hands of government or it can be in the hands of a private party. It's still a centralized power over people's ability to express themselves, which is something that should never be curtailed, whether privately or governmentally. So, but it's an interesting concept, too, though, about coming together and forming these types of coalitions, you know, maybe by contract or by pact, so that you can get things done together that the government cannot get done. it's a pretty cool concept, but it's also pretty scary in many ways too.
Yeah, and there's no shortage of people willing to do something like that,
right.
You know, curtailing freedoms or things that you can read. All right, we have another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook. Go ahead.
I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. I got two questions.
Go ahead.
Okay, first question is kind of a large scope thing. What do you think the long-term damage, literally to humanity, is of people watching a screen that's essentially an illusion and doing this so many hours a day? I mean, it's bad enough we've been watching TVs and film for how many decades now, and people seem to have their experience based on TV shows or movies, not an actual life, if you will. I mean, so many things that we quote. The second thing is, and I keep hearing this, I'm semi-retired now, but from colleagues in different parts, something called the digital control grid. It seems to have the marker, you know, three sixes on it at this point from what we're hearing. I lived for many years ago in Switzerland, and the Bank of International Settlements is not in the neighborhood. I mean, to talk about control of the currency someday, where everything that you do will be like on some type of a...
Are you getting further away from the phone? We're having more trouble here.
I'm driving in rural New Jersey, hard to believe.
Okay, be careful.
I remember, I had a friend in the Air Force many years ago. She was in the Air Force, and they literally had a screen that showed every flight in the world on a given screen at any given time. This is in the late 90s, right?
Wow.
And it was verified. Of course, it was considered classified back then. And, of course, when 9/11 happened, my friend said, no, they knew where those flights were. That's a whole other story. But the idea of illusion with humanity, but more to the point, the digital control grid. I keep hearing about this. What do you guys know about it? And terrific program for decades.
Well, thanks for calling. And
my pleasure.
Alex, I'm going to throw that to you. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, I've got thoughts on what the caller mentioned, but I don't know what the digital control grid is specifically, which was his last question. But I think in terms of the long-term consequences of staring at a screen and basically just watching fictitious things that are probably even at this point algorithmically generated story arcs, well, yeah, we already know that there's mental health and self-image issues. You know, there's long-term mental health issues linked to higher rates of anxiety, depression, body image, FOMO. We're losing out on social skills. We're losing out on empathy. We have distorted versions of reality and really fragile egos because of basically these lies on the screens. I mean, I could go on and on. I mean, I think addiction and attention deficit disorders that are on the rise from this are other long-term consequences. I mean, I think there's just so many. We could spend hours on this.
Kyle.
I think what the caller is talking about is probably a theoretical way of talking about many different types of systems that we experience, and I think it's helpful to kind of name things for ways of thinking about things, and some of it may be sort of metaphysical, some of it may be based in fact or science or anecdotal evidence over the years. But it's something we've noticed. I mean, even some of the media texts that we consume have referenced it. I'm thinking, like, of the literal Matrix series. That's from fiction, and yet our world resembles it more and more. And what I would say is that these devices and the capabilities of the tools should just enable us to live more of our actual life. It should enhance that lived experience more so than taking over.
Okay, we have one more phone call, only a few seconds. Go ahead, caller. Hello, you're on the air. Go ahead. Okay, there's nobody there. Kyle, can you continue talking then? I'm sorry. I thought we had a caller. And we're done with calls for tonight because we have to go in a minute.
Well, that's sad. This went way too fast this week, I think. But, you know, historic episode of Off the Hook. And remember to please support us. You know, everybody's asking for a tip these days. You spend a dollar here, a dollar there, tipping everybody. But, you know, tip your radio hosts here.
Tip us. Tipping the radio station.
Tipping for the radio station, of course.
We don't get a penny.
You can help us by helping WBAI. That's basically what it is. The money is to WBAI. But think of it as
exactly. We don't get to do this if that place isn't sustained, and a big part of it is people's contributions. So we get to do what we are doing here only with your support. So please give what you can, tell others, spread the word, and support community radio, because, yeah, it's how we keep things different.
Write to us, OTH at 2600.com. And there are 2600 meetings this coming Friday. I understand many of them will be talking about hope as well, and making plans and coordinating things like that. Again, write to us, OTH at 2600.com, if you want to share any information or get word out about a project of yours. Or just provide feedback to us. We'd love to hear from you. We will be back next Wednesday, 7 p.m. Again, no overtime tonight, but maybe next week. We're not sure about that yet either. We will see you in any event on WBAI at 7 o'clock next Wednesday. Please support WBAI, 833-922-4692, 833-WBAI-NYC, or go to the website, give2wbai.org. And now, in closing, let's think of the astronauts on their way to the moon. Wow.
Put on an iron shirt.